Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
I love that picture because it's the intentionality with which we actually connect and follow leadership. So God's Spirit is leading us through a journey, and this morning I want you to know that wherever you happen to be, you're at just the right spot to hear what God is going to speak to you. You know, today like never before, I'm grateful for the opportunity to connect with you and worship God together. I sense God's Spirit leading us through the journey of worshiping and singing, worshiping through giving, and right into His Word. And Pastor Lacey was leading the team into that song, "You Take What the Enemy Means for Evil and You Turn It for Good," which is a biblical principle that comes out of Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. And today I want you to know God's gonna teach us today part of how He does that. So wherever you are, I wanna encourage you to go ahead and set aside the next 15 minutes for the journey we're gonna spend together in Scripture. If you're a lifelinker, you're probably chuckling just a little bit to think, you mean you're gonna say this in 15 minutes? Yes. But you're gonna have to listen quickly and be ready to capture notes. So go and open your Bible apps, your notes, whatever you're gonna capture those in, download or pull out the handout that I've sent out earlier. And then let's pray and get ready because God's about to move into our understanding and bring some alignment and insight that's gonna change our experience to get to this in the days ahead. So let's pray. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your faithfulness. Right now, Lord, we just take authority over our minds and declare that our minds are tools you gave us to actually not just study you, but know you with. As we learn your scriptures and as we learn the truth in your Bible, that we actually learn who you are relationally. And that confidence grows deeper and deeper and deeper. So God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking right now that you would take the next 15 minutes and cause our minds to quickly grasp what you want to show us. I thank you for it in advance, and I pray an anointing to hear, to receive, and to apply for life change in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, this morning I want to bring to you a simple but powerful word, and that is God sees you one way. And how you see yourself can align with how God sees you. And when those two perspectives connect, it actually changes how we live. I want to ask you a simple question as we're getting started this morning. Do you see yourself as belonging to God? What I mean by that is, have you received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior and Lord? Your Savior means Redeemer. Lord means you follow Him. So if you belong to Christ and you belong to God's kingdom, that means you actually follow what He says and He leads you and you follow what He says. That's a simple, practical definition of belonging to God, receiving what God did for you when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, shed His blood, and sealed that covenant forever, giving you access to that relationship with God. And I'm rehearsing a few things with intention in the very beginning of this message because, church, God wants to teach you something today that I believe is gonna change what this experience has been for so many already and take what darkness means for our destruction and turn it for our good. He's gonna do that for you in a very personal way today. I wanna talk to you this morning about the answer to that question, am I God's? Because that's gonna give you access to God's plan and purpose for your life. Let me say this, God knows exactly who you are. He created you, and if you've stepped into His kingdom through the finished work of Jesus Christ, receiving what He's done for you, and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then here's what He says about you. I know you. I'm calling you, I'm authorizing you, and I'm gonna do great things through you. So I want you to know that's His perspective of you. The reason I'm saying that is so many of us don't have that perspective. We see ourselves as just regular people who might go to church from time to time or whatever, and we hope God does something good. If we get really desperate, we pray a little bit or whatever. But God says, nope, that's not how it works. My people actually connect with who I am. We go through life together. I am their God, they are my people. And they are who I've created them to be. So this morning, I believe what God is redeeming, one of the things God is redeeming this experience for our world right now is taking the momentum that's driving all of us to smaller and smaller groups, even really just households, to say, I want to teach you who you are in the power of who I've created you to be in your households. so that from that vantage point, we have authority to live our lives according to how he's decided for us to live, with access to everything he's given us in his kingdom. So this morning, as we get started, I'm going to ask you that question one more time. His perspective of you is one way. Would you let him give you his perspective so you agree with that perspective and then receive everything as God's given you? If so, God's going to fill your tool belt with powerful tools to actually use, not just know about, but use in this next season we're coming into in the next few days and weeks. So as we get started this morning, I'm going to read a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And this is where I want you to see what God actually sees you as, says you are, and wants us to actually live with these expressions in. Now listen carefully. It says, you are not like that. And the word that is referring to a group of people who've rejected God. All right? We've already settled that issue. You've not rejected God. You've said yes to God. You've opened your heart and received the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and you follow him. So this is, he's saying, you're not like people that reject God. Instead, I want you to know you're a chosen people. You are a chosen people. Then he goes on to say, you are royal priests. And that's probably the one you went, I'm not sure I would see myself as a royal priest. But the problem with that is that's how God sees you. If you've been born again, are saved and walk in relationship with Jesus Christ, he sees you as not just chosen, but a royal priest. Not that you have a flawless, sinless life, but that you have the authority to do what priests do. And especially the context of your home, that's what we're going to watch God show us. God's given you priestly authority in the household you live to enable you to give guidance and access to the kingdom of God in that household. And he goes on to say, you're a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. He's called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. I'm reminded in that context of an Old Testament event that happened when the people of God were actually slaves in the country of Egypt. And in that nation, they were trapped. They couldn't get out. They were in a circumstance they couldn't get away from. And then that country, that nation actually went through a series of plagues. The challenge for those people is they watched the people of God actually not go through them. Because God's people did not go through the plagues like the people who had rejected God. In that context, the people of Israel represented people who reject God. And the Israelites were the people who had received or were God's people in that context. That's the same principle that God wants you to see today. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are his and you operate in his kingdom with all the authority he's given you that he paid for in full. The challenge is sometimes we don't believe it. So our perspective doesn't match and meet with his perspective. But today God's saying, I'm gonna show you how I see you so your perspective can align up. And when we walk in alignment, you're gonna experience power, conviction, authority, the ability to do what I've called you to accomplish in that as it relates to our households. All right? So I wanted to spend about 7 or 8 minutes in the very beginning of our journey this morning giving that one simple point across. The next season ahead of us, our life and success depends completely, I believe, in many ways, on our ability to know who we are in Christ and walk in the authority he's given us as priests in our own home. We belong to God, we're royal priests, a holy nation, and we've been set apart to do God's glorious work so we can bring others out of darkness into this light that we have as well. All right. So what I want to do this morning is spend a few moments walking you through the outline that I sent. So if you'll go ahead and get that outline up, we're going to look at scriptures God's given us as his people, blessings that we're going to actually have authority to declare in the context of our households and homes, communion that God has authorized us and commissioned us as believers to serve and to receive, and prayers to pray, aligning different aspects of our life with the kingdom of God. It's one of the reasons why I've said over and over in this journey this morning, please download this guide. You're gonna need it, and I promise you, as the days turn into weeks, you're gonna want it. But God's gonna set his people up for a phenomenal experience of his kingdom moving through our lives in powerful ways. Let's look at the first section, which is scriptures. These are three scriptures that God has given us. And this morning we want you to know that his Bible is his voice speaking truth to you. Here's what he says. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So God says, I don't want you to walk in or listening. I don't want you to listen to fear and respond to it as if it's me. That's not me. I did not give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you power. I gave you love, and I gave you a sound mind. Then he says in Psalm 91, listen to this. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. That's that picture of that relationship. I dwell in the shelter. I dwell in the context of that relationship with the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In other words, in close relationship, we're protected into the shadow of our big and awesome God. He says, I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And the reason we'll say that is for God will deliver you or deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. I hope you'll get this guide out and look at Psalm 91 over and over and over and realize God's giving you powerful promises to those who actually walk in that relationship with him. Then he says in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Now, let me just give you a brief context for that. He's not saying don't feel fear. He's saying don't be. Do not fear. In other words, do not respond to fear. We may feel different things, but we don't let the feelings inform our decisions. So do not fear. Don't let fear guide you, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Your circumstance is not your God. Our environment's not our God. Our station in life is not our God. God is our God. And that's what he wants us to know. As his people, do not fear, I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. So those are three scriptures I want you to have in that outline, have access to, and rehearse those over and over and over. Why? That's God's word to you. It's his guarantee. It's his promise. And then that's who he says, that's who he is. When we trust him in that context, our perspective aligns with his and gives us conviction to trust him with everything else. Then he says we're royal priests. In the first scripture we talked about, he said we're chosen and we're royal priests. So the next thing I want to look at in this outline is a section called the priestly blessings. These are two blessings that I want you to get well familiar with, especially those of you that are heads of households. The first one is actually called the priestly blessing, and it comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. You may have heard this before, but this is where it's at in the Bible. Listen carefully, the priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hey, listen, heads of households, family leaders, I want you to have this in your mind. This picture that just before your family gets moving every day, that you call them together and say, hey, just before you go, I want to bless you today. And then speak this over them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And you may be thinking, Pastor Dave, I don't even feel like a prayer. I'm not even sure I'm good with God. I don't want you to go by your feelings. I want you to go by what God says you are. You are a chosen person, a royal priest, and this is something he gave you to declare over the boundaries of your home and the people in your household. So bless them before they go. Then there's a blessing we find in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. It's really paraphrased this way. It's paraphrased as a prayer as I read. Heavenly Father, we praise you for providing the dwelling place of our home. Wherever we lie to rest our heads, we thank you. Like Joshua before me, I declare that me and those in my household will serve the Lord. And I want to just let you know that that is a priestly declaration over your household. All right, so, and then there's a prayer that goes with that that says, I pray your blessing on my home. May this home be filled with your love every day, Jesus. Keep our home safe, protect our dwelling from disease, shortages, fire, flood, wind, invasion, and theft. Let our house be a safe place to restore what has been lost. And for those who need your love to find it, we ask for a legacy of love that carries over to the furthest generations of our family and the families of all who walk through our door. Amen. So we're giving you this tool. And you don't have to be a LifeLinker. You can download it wherever you happen to be. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, you have authority to declare these things. And we're giving them their scriptures, their blessings. I'll cover directions for communion in just a moment, and then prayers to pray over your home with authority. Imagine, even if you're not that familiar with prayer, being able to say, Lord, I want to pray today over my family. I want to pray today over my marriage. There's prayers for our marriage, prayers for the single parent, because many of you actually live your life under the burden of leadership in your household alone. Prayer for infants, prayer for children, prayer for teenagers, and the declaration of the armor of God over your life and your children and those in your households. So I want to equip you with that. And the last thing I want to cover today is something called the instructions for communion, because I want to charge you today, LifeLinkers, even if you're not a LifeLinker, if you belong to Jesus Christ, I want to charge you that at least once a week, you gather the members of your household together and you serve the Lord's table together. You serve the cup and you serve the bread. In this particular guide, there's instructions for how to prepare for communion, which is providing the bread and the grape juice for every believer who will be receiving communion. There's scriptures to be read out loud. There's declarations for those who are serving the communion and those that are receiving communion. And all those instructions are there. And God wants you to do this in part because of what he says at the very end of the instructions for communion. And I want to close this message today by looking today at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. Because this is something I believe that is powerful in exactly where we are today. Listen carefully. The section of communion ends with this particular phrase. 1 Corinthians 11, 26 says this. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup. In other words, that's the picture. You're there with the members of your household. Or if you live alone, you receive this in the context of your relationship with Christ. In the context of being alone in your home. But he says this. Every time you do this, every time you eat the bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Let me give you some working context for what that means, because sometimes people think, I don't know what that means. Why do I just say, Jesus died, Jesus died, Jesus died, I'm announcing the Lord's death. What he's really saying is you're declaring over yourself, you're declaring over your household, you're declaring over your membership, everything under your dominion, you're declaring that Jesus, the price he paid when he died, was enough when he paid for it. It's been enough all through history. It is enough right now for today, and it will be enough tomorrow. So every time you gather together and you receive the Lord's Supper together, you're saying, I trust God's provision is true. His protection is true. Divine health is mine because of the price Jesus paid for. And what he's basically saying is, you don't have to understand how any of it works. But he says, essentially, with childlike faith, just trust me. Walk through it. This is who I say you are, a chosen people, royal priests, a holy nation, prepared to do great works, able to lift, give others hope and bring them out of darkness into light too. This morning, God is equipping us to know how to be, how to live, who to be, how to live, and what to do in a very practical yet spiritually powerful way in the next several days and weeks as many things in our world continues to feel like quicksand. Quicksand under the feet of so many. But God says, doesn't have to be that way for my people. Don't be afraid. Don't let your life be dominated by fear. Stand in the position I've created you to operate in the identity I've given you as mine, as being a royal priest. Let that define who you are. Let that define how you live. And watch me do great and mighty things. I hope that you're inspired by this. And today, Pastor Shereen, I want you to know that we believe this is a message because we believe Jesus drew a line from Calvary's cross right through history to you. He drew the line, it's called the bloodline. He drew that line and said, you are mine. You're in my family tree. This is how I see you. This is how I want you to live. This is how I do great things through you. So I hope you receive that. We're gonna watch God do awesome things together. Let me pray for you before I close this message. But don't leave. There's something I want to do at the very end. So hold tight. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your faithfulness. You are a good and powerful God. Right now, Lord, we've been going through the study of Scripture, orienting our minds around who you say we are. Even if we don't feel these certain ways, the truth is we know you do not lie. You always speak the truth. And if those of us who have received Christ and are in the family of God, this is how you see us. So we take with faith the very things you've given us today, and we will exercise those today, this week, moving into this next season. Lord, not just for our personal benefit, but God, the ability to provide hope to so many people whose lives are still marked by fear and terror and dread. We want to be able to help them move out of darkness into the light of who you've created us to live as your people in. I thank you for that, God. Do powerful things this week, I pray. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, let me talk to those of you that are thinking, yeah, I'd like for that to be true, but I know for a fact I don't follow Jesus. I may know a few things about church, or maybe people think I'm a Christian, but deep in my heart, I know I don't follow him. I just may say a prayer when I get desperate, but I want you to know something this morning. You're one decision and one prayer away from actually watching God take you from darkness and putting you into his family, adopting you into his family. He does that when we believe Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of God, who came from left heaven and came to earth, lived a sinless life. History says this, died on Calvary's cross to pay for our sins, was buried in a tomb, there for 3 days, raised on the third day, is alive in heaven forevermore. When we actually just say, God, I believe that. And now I want to apply that to my life by asking Jesus to forgive me for my sins, wash me and cleanse me and make me whole. I give my life to you. See, those are things that actually he says, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he was, that he did all the things that he said he did, that God raised him from the dead, and we declare with our mouth all those things, Jesus said we'll be born again. We'll actually be changed from darkness into the family of God. So this morning, what I want to do in the closing moments of our journey together is give your mouth words to say that your heart is already saying. So if you're ready to say yes to Jesus and give your life to him in a life-saving, life-changing way, I'm going to ask right now that you would close your eyes, bow your head, open your hands to the Lord, and let's pray this prayer together. You can repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, come on, say them out loud right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your scriptures. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die in my place for my sins. I thank you today that your word is true, that you did all of that for me. Today I receive it. I'm asking you to forgive me for all of my sins, that you would wash me and cleanse me and make me brand new. Today I'm giving my whole life to you. Come into my heart, be my Savior, be my Lord. I've decided to follow you from this day forward. No turning back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifeinkchurch.com.